Okay. If we don't have any additions to the agenda, I entertain a motion to accept the agenda as stated.
Mr. Chairman, just one. It would fit in under Matt's. It would have to do with that NACO scholarship.
Okay.
I don't know if we need to formally change anything or not. Matt's here anyway.
Matt can just do that as a report.
Okay.
So if there's not any additions, do you have a motion? Who made the motion? Commissioner Baker, do you have a second? Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. I need a motion to approve the minutes from the previous meeting.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Now we'll move into Billy to give us an update. And then Rio Verde.
Awesome. Good morning. You guys got my activity report. And then we're up to any questions. I finally got the study back on Iroquois Middle Arc, the speed study.
Oh, okay.
And you guys can look at that. I'm kind of based on what we got it signed as right now.
What was the bottom line? Did they get one part of what they already knew?
It's like 35.
And that's where it's at, right?
Yeah.
And we'll just have to do resolution. Some of the corners are low. You guys can look at that. They had a really good study. I mean, you see some high traffic speeds on it and stuff.
Who would we have do up a resolution? Would Matt do that?
I think Matt would do that.
That's kind of what I would think.
Matt would work with Billy and whatever we need to do to give us a resolution for the next meeting.
Okay.
Yeah. That'd be my thought. Any other comments on that? Or would I have time to look at it? Well, we should be moving forward on that then. Thanks, Bill.
Yeah, you bet. Other than that, me and Mike yesterday, Joel asked us to look at the Greener Lakes Road, and we went did a drive on that. We kind of had a lot of stuff from when we looked at it a few years ago.
Yeah, so just kind of falls in line with what we talked about the last meeting. This is the list that, the priority list that was put together late 2017 and 2018.
Is this Schedule A?
Yep, this is Schedule A. And you'll notice Green River Lakes isn't on there because we had been, that was part of the application, Central Federal Land at that time, so.
Me and Mike are going to kind of go through this and kind of change. There's some stuff that we.
Yeah, I mean.
Some of them are, yeah, go ahead, Mike.
It's subject to change at this point, and really what it comes down to is, you know, do we focus on arterial roads or two-track style roads? Obviously, the arterial roads cost more. And so when we looked at the road yesterday, you know, it's looking at my maps and everything, it's about 19 miles. The estimate that went in with the application for Central Federal Lands is about $15.4 million to do that. We looked at ways, looking at different borrow areas, how we can reduce costs, how to to set up the project. I think there's ways that we can get it down to anywhere from 8 to 10 million to do the full 19 miles, get it in good shape. It comes really down to how much funding is available to Schedule A, how many phases it takes. You know, if you split it into two phases, you're looking at about 3 years to get that done. With on a road like this, you about need to get it designed together with cross sections, profile where the borrow is going to come from. If you move it into four phases, depending on how much money is available, it could, you know, be a 5-6 year project. So, you know, I don't know the ins and outs of what's available through the Schedule A. And you know, we talked about it. You know, we have to have a gravel source somewhere up there. And we could make that part of the contribution of the Forest Service. You know, if we can get the ball rolling talking to them and see, you know, what we can get for some source material up there. But it could come down to, you know, what the commission feels like are the priorities. One, you know, we can update this list, however you want to do that, and two is how to phase these bigger projects out.
Mr. Chairman,
it sounds to me like we just need to know how much Schedule A money is available before we can set our priorities. If there's a possibility of having that much money, then I say we would definitely approach that. But
Mr.
Chairman, I probably have a little more information on that. The problem with this project is just what Tom said. We don't know how much Schedule A money is available till the end of the budget year. And I met with the Big Piney District Ranger yesterday, had lunch with him, or talked about numerous issues, but one of them was Schedule A, and what he would like, and it makes sense, is that he would like more feedback from us on prioritizing, and we could do it. You know, we could say Green River Lakes Road is a priority, but if we only get $50,000, you know, that we could spend to upgrade a two-track road, like similar to what we're doing on the Clark's Draw Road, he would like some priorities for those kinds of roads. The Green River Lakes Road is probably beyond what would be funded through a Schedule A agreement. And the reason I asked Billy and you to just take a rough look at it is I met with the chief a week or so ago at Ogden. I was invited down there to meet on grazing issues, but I did have opportunity to talk to the chief about that road. And her question to me was, how much money are you looking at? And this wasn't Schedule A, this was to talk about the Forest Service allocating dollars to fix that road, and the idea being that by using good neighbor authority, which does apply to counties with road work, the Forest Service provide the funding, the county do the contracting similar to what we do with Schedule A, and get more road work done than if the Forest Service was just gonna do it on their own. That was the subject of my conversation with her. And when she asked about the dollars, I didn't have a clue. I said, well, I would just roughly guess $5 million would at least get us a good start. And I have no idea, are we looking at $5 million, $10 million? Are we looking at just an upgraded gravel road, which was my assumption? And is that what you were referring to as a gravel road?
Gravel road.
So what she had directed the regional office to and the supervisor's office after our conversation to, she didn't exactly say up this in priority, but what she did say was she is yet to be aware of any county taking advantage of good neighbor authority to do some road work. And she addressed her comments to the regional forester saying, when the secretary comes to me and says, what are you doing to use this new authority in the farm bill, I would like to be able to say we're doing something. And based on that, kind of led me to leave there feeling kind of positive that maybe there is a chance that we might get some major funding for that road. And so So that's why I called Billy to, you know, if you get just some rough idea of what we're looking at, maybe have a conversation with Mike Oldman and the engineer in the supervisor's office to where we're kind of on the same page. So if the Forest Service comes to him and saying, how much money do you think that might cost? If they get serious about doing it, then we'd have a little bit of pre-work done to where we could stand a chance of moving forward with it.
So our what we would have to do, as Commissioner Noble said, we kind of have to wait to the end of the year, see what money's available, and then prioritize our projects based on that?
The end of the budget year, which is, well, 1st of October is the federal budget. And so what the way Don Kranendog explained it, he said, I'll get a phone call saying you have so much Schedule A work and I need to get back to them within a matter of days saying this is where I want to do the next Schedule A project. So I think it would be good for us to review this list. I was going to suggest to Mac that he talk to, get some feedback from people in the Big Piney area. There may be some. It was brought up to me at that meeting that I don't know if it was linking North Cottonwood with, or North Piney with Middle Piney. Somewhere there's a two-track on the forest that would really be nice to hook those routes together and get it where it was more usable for hunters and whatnot. I don't even know what the name of the road is. It's a forest road. And it was brought to my attention that that road maybe should be on that list, and I said, well, talk to Mac because he understands those roads down there far better than probably any of us on this board. But at some point, maybe we as commissioners need to look through this, and if we get some idea about dollars available, I guess my suggestion would be if we have $100,000 in for this year, we look at this road. If we have $300,000, maybe we look at something else.
We could work with two lists. You know, one with kind of the major arterials, you know, that are bigger, more expensive projects, and then, you know, have a secondary list of the smaller roads. So that, depending on availability of funding, you have a prioritization on each on both scales.
I think that would be a good way to look at it.
That sounds good. So, Commissioner Miller.
Correct me here if I'm wrong, Joel, but we're dealing with two different districts, too. We got Rob and Don, so there could be two separate pots of money, correct?
I'm not sure about that. That may come through the supervisor's office.
So is Don the only one that's in charge of Schedule A, or Rob
was in charge of the one we did on that little piece off Skyline. We used Schedule A money to do some work into.
So that's my thought. Is there two pots of money possibly because of two districts or not?
I'm not sure. We can find that out simply by asking the question.
One of us should meet with Rob and ask her. Then we're going into three priority lists, the main arteries and then two districts.
We can ask Mike Oldman to know that.
Yeah.
You can ask Chairman.
Yes,
so when I look at the length of miles and we're talking about availability and monies, when it comes right down to it, probably in my mind at least, we're looking at serving the public so we have better access. Smaller mileage roads would appear to me to serve more of the public than at least the public from Sutherland County than it would be a long, extensive road. So initially, wherever the money comes, it looks like, here again to me, that it would be advantageous to spend a smaller amount of money more times. In other words, get more small roads under so you can travel them well than one main thoroughfare.
I think what we're going to have to do is what Mike said, and that is a point to be looked at, but it may not hold true in all cases. So I think what we need to do is look at the two major subsets, whether main arteries or not, and then decide or get the answer to the question from Mike Oldman about the Forest Service money being separate or together or whatever. And then in that process, when it comes down to us looking at the smaller projects, we can then look at that use and how much is going to be serving the public, and we can prioritize a list. We have all the information together rather than, I mean, I think what you're looking for now is general direction in which to go. We're not decision making. There's been some good discussion and questions brought up, and I think that's enough to probably give you that direction, Mike, isn't it?
Yeah. I guess, you know, and I can work, I can get those lists together, no problem. The thing is what kind of input, you know, from around the county do we get to get that list, that initial list together? You know, you mentioned Mac, you know, some roads down here. You know, who do we reach out to? Are there workshops, or is this, you know, where do we get the comprehensive list, overall list, that then you can take and prioritize, you know, how you see fit?
Speaking on my behalf, I'm only familiar with the Upper Green area, which doesn't do any harm, any justice to the lower part of the county. But wouldn't you think that someone internally with the Forest Service would have much better feel for their needs on which roads? Shouldn't there be someone from within that can prioritize this list in a more sensible manner?
Well, they're willing to help prioritize it, and they definitely have ideas, but they want some feedback from us as well.
I can reach out to Rob and Don both.
That would be
respective districts and say, give me your list. We can get all those put together. You guys get a chance to review it and change orders. Maybe.
They should.
Well, I think if they come up with a list, and we decide we're going to look at it, it's simply a matter of putting it on the agenda at a certain time, let the public know, and then those that are interested could come. And also you'd have time for instance, Mac at this end of the county, knowing the roads to research in, but we would have an opportunity to have it held in the public. So if the public wanted to speak to it, and we could do our decision-making process at that time, having the preliminary information from the Forest Service in terms of what they think.
Mr. Chairman, before we leave this issue, there's also the possibility of some of these longer roads that may have a particular bad spot that you might have some Schedule A dollars available to say we can fix this and improve access along the whole route. There's some cases like that on the maybe on the Upper Green, the cases on the road to Big Sandy openings that, you know, have some potentially nasty places that a little bit of money would, it's not going to do the whole road, but it might fix that bad spot. So that's where you'll get some feedback from the district rangers and from the people within the Forest Service.
Well, we looked at that yesterday, like that, you know, where it goes to the bridge, where you go to Union Pass and that, you know. I mean, it would take a lot of money to get that 4 mile stretch really, you know, nice, and there's some camping area, you know what I mean? So, I mean, yeah. So you could, you know, you could do stuff like that.
Piecemeal it.
Does that give you what you need, Mike?
Yeah. You know, timeline, is, do you guys have anything in mind on when you'd like to see, get this information together and back to you?
Why don't you base that on your discussion with the district rangers?
Okay. I'll talk with them, and then I'll get a hold of Mike Olden too.
Yeah, find out for sure when they think that they're going to be notified that they've got this money.
Okay.
And we'll work around that.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you.
You got it.
Yeah, I mean, the Clark Draw, I'm assuming Marshall's, it's out for proposal right now, and it's due back at my office on December 3rd or December 2nd, and at which point, what we're thinking is we'll allow you 2 weeks between that meeting on the 3rd and the 2nd one to be able to evaluate those and make your decision on the 2nd meeting in December.
That sounds good. Any questions?
questions about that? Gary, before I forget, Commissioner Rawhauser is excused from this meeting. I forgot to say that at the beginning.
All righty. The only other thing I've got this to do with the landfill, I was going to ask your guys' opinion on the week of Thanksgiving. We're closed Thursday and Friday for the holiday. And I just pulled together the last 2 years because the landfills are open on Saturday. And Pinedale is had, like, the last 2 years, like, 7 to, 2 years ago they had 11, last year they had 7. Down here we had 1 and 2. I was going to see if you guys thought it'd be okay if I just set containers out. Up in Pinedale, to have Ryan be there, have his crew up there, it's about $570 a day. And then, of course, the scale house, you know, full-time employee will be basically on overtime. It's totally up to you guys. It don't matter to me one way or the other. I was just thinking ways to try to be more feasible.
So, for clarification, go ahead.
So what you're saying,
That's right. Yeah,
I think what you're saying is we can provide the service and save money by doing that, just putting the container out there.
Correct.
Because the use has not been significant,
yeah,
but the availability will be there.
It'll still be
and
there.
And we won't have to pay the regular time plus the time and a half for somebody to
be out there. I'll set out container, you know, 2 big containers, 40-yard containers in each gate. And people, and you know, it'll be basically a free dump day, but in the long run, it's going to save us. Yeah.
Well, you will have to put out notice, and then whoever wants to take advantage of that free dump day, plan for that Saturday.
Yes, I will.
I it sounds reasonable to me.
And this is in regards to Saturday only.
Just Saturday only.
Yeah.
Yeah, just because of the holiday, we just don't get.
I do have a payroll thing, so it will affect their payroll. Because of the holiday, because they wouldn't be getting overtime, they would be getting holiday pay, but they're basically not working a day.
Right.
So they're going to have to make it up somewhere.
Okay.
Which is still to our advantage.
Like they won't be able to take off.
Yeah, because on Saturday in Piney. It's a part-time person that works down there on Saturday anyway. So
okay. That
and then Ryan and then it just be it'd be Jim Mikowski, so I can just have him
okay. Come
in during because he takes off a few days during the first part of the week because I have him work through the weekend. So
right.
I can just shift it.
Want to make sure that when payroll comes, if they don't have their hours in, they would know they would be getting deducted.
Yeah, no, I'll just have them come in. Instead of on his scheduled day off, come in on that day next week, so it'll be fine.
And where would you put a sign up to notify the public?
Today.
I'd say try it.
I'm not opposed.
Okay. As long as the payroll thing is worked out, it sounds like it is.
Okay.
Sounds like we're
working efficiently, Billy. Thank you.
Well, thanks.
Sounds like we're doing flex time.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like we're saving the county money.
Yeah. It's just that day because it's just after the holiday. You just don't get anything. And then, like, the contractors or something crazy goes on, they all got my number and I need them and we don't. I've done that a few times the last couple of years. So it's. And I never had any contractors. That's all I got.
Billy, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
This is kind of under old business. And if you recall, we talked about Jack Creek with Jerison 3 months ago or more.
Yeah.
The wetland project. Do you want to touch base on
that? Oh, I got got, it was funny because when I got here, I got a text from Brian and he said he wasn't able to come. He would call me later. And I reached out to him because my hole on that, where the water is running against the road there on Jack Creek, my whole idea was just get the water away from the road. And Butch had hired Jorgensen to work with the Corps in that and do, and I don't really know, I wasn't a part of their agreement of what they, I talked to Butch later after, and he said all he was concerned about is getting the water away from the road. So I asked Brian here a week or so ago, because we put the rocks in, Abe gave me the go-ahead to put the rocks in, and we put the rocks, got the water away from the road. So my feeling, I think our part's done. I know they were talking about going down on private land and doing, you know, getting the water channel back to the area and fish habitat, all that stuff. But Abe has left and gone to the town now, so Brian was kind of, he didn't know where Abe was on or at with any of that. So he's supposed to get with me later today. But my feeling is I don't think, I mean, it's up to you guys with wherever, however you want me to go, but I don't think we ought to keep putting money into that project because I think what we've done is fixed the issue of what the county had, but it's up to you guys.
My understanding, I agree with you, that we originally, our original concern was getting the water away from the road, and we've done that.
Yes.
So I don't know, I think our purpose has been fulfilled, it's my thought. I concur.
I do too, I guess there's some things that I need to cover.
Yeah.
Because of my conversation with the Corps.
Yeah. So, and Tom talked to me yesterday a little bit about that.
I've been in communication with the Corps, so there's some loose ends there we need to tie up.
So we'll get that done.
Because of, yes. And I can address those now if you want, or.
Do they need to be addressed? Or we just done
so, the project? Let me just throw it out there. So Abe gave Billy permission to move forward.
Yeah.
And my understanding when talking to the Corps yesterday is their understanding was that they gave Jurgensen permission to stockpile the rocks, not install them. So there's a problem there, but they're not concerned, they're not worried, they're gonna come up next spring and review what Billy had done, and if there's some follow-up permitting, we'll take care of it then.
But no major concerns?
Just not on their behalf at this time, but they do believe there's some loose ends that need fixed.
I'll address that with Brian today.
Okay.
I was talking with Mike yesterday about it, and basically what we did, all of some of the maintenance, and
yeah, he felt the same way.
Yeah.
There was two different stories.
Right. But I'll get that straight today.
Okay.
Thank you, Billy. I just want to bring that up because he's not here during old business.
Okay.
That's pretty much all I have.
Any questions for Bill?
Well, yeah, I guess, I don't know whether it ties into this or not, but it'd be a question for Bill, I guess, because I got an email here a little while ago with some bids, I think it was, on some remodeling of the current road bridge facility there at Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume everybody did.
Right.
And I took an opportunity here some time back to go through that thing, and it needs remodeled, there's no doubt about it. And the big thing with it, and I know that Joe probably, and Tom, perhaps you know, with the new emissions that are tied into these new engines, mm-hmm. with DEF required the motor to be at a certain degree, at least with mice, it does, before you can even move the darn thing. So having in his case, a motor grader in a facility where it's at least comfortable is absolutely a necessity. So
want to start there, let them know for 30, 40 minutes before you can move them off center. So I know that time is of the essence, and I didn't bring the projections with me, but I know Billy had three different bids that would be, in my opinion, whichever one he'd feel comfortable with, I think it should happen.
Well, I agree with you. I've talked to Billy about it. I think that building is going to be in need of repair, and there's several different ways of looking at it. Number one, it is a need, something that you have, that needs to happen. Number two, it's probably cost effective not to tie that in terms of consideration with the fire hall at the end, or whether or not that happens. Has no bearing on what you're going to need at that maintenance shop at Daniel. So I agree with you.
Here's what's happening right now, and we've been finding it. These motor graders with the emissions and the death area, I don't know why these companies don't make them where when you plug them in, because right now what we do, we don't run the heater all the time. Just for the heck of it, I've pulled what our propane, what we're doing. We only run it when we try to warm them up enough to grease them and stuff, because almost all the grease, froze ice and stuff. And so we just run the heaters part time. And like last year, we paid, $13,503.42 just for propane part time. Year before was $9,867.36.
Yeah.
Anyway, with these new motor graders, you plug them in, it doesn't unthaw the urea. So I have two motor graders. One goes to Cottonwood, one goes to Horse Creek. So they get out there and they let them run like 10 minutes, jump in them, take off. Well, when you're trying to road them, because they're trying to get to where they need to do their job, they go, it shuts them into
default.
So then there they are sitting along the side of the road. So I called the Caterpillar and said, hey, what do we do? So they sent the computer, sent Kevin, the mechanic, out there, and he put it on his computer and that. And we did this numerous times to make sure. We have to sit there and let them sit for like 45 minutes to make sure that urea is totally unthawed before they can leave. So basically, I'm having these guys come in an hour earlier just to sit there and let them warm up. So we had, it'd be way more if we could just run heat, if we could get that building insulated where we could have some heat. So we went out to let them sit there idle for 45 minutes till the urea thaws.
So I think we agree in principle that that is going to have to be looked at in terms of upgrading that shop.
So, in my opinion, we've missed the build season for this year. Your bid was replace the tin, insulate, and all that.
Right.
Which I don't believe we've got. Am I wrong there?
Yeah, I talked to all these guys, and what's tough is a lot of, you can't get a lot of contractors to mess with metal, especially in the winter. But all these guys said they could start and probably have it done within 90 days. So that was what they're all busy, but they would jump off of it because they know it's a, so that's what I know on that.
So we want to move forward with that?
Do you want to get some more? We got the bids, and they're all good with them. But
Mr. Chairman, I guess what I'm a little confused on, is it logical to move forward now for try and get something done temporary for this winter and then finish next summer on the metalwork, or what makes sense, or do we get through like we have been for this winter and then fix it next year?
It's up to you guys. I mean, it's just, you know, it's kind of a, and Tom knows, like with these motor graders, you gotta have them in the building because they got a fan on top of them. And we at least got that. So, because if snow gets in this fan, like if they're just sitting there in the fan, ain't running, and it gets snowing, it ruins the fan, and it's like $5,000 to fix the fan. So at least we have that. We have somewhere to sit, you know, indoors. Sooner the better would be great, you know, but realistically we could do it. I mean, whatever you guys want to do.
Well, I guess the question is, can we do it and do it right this year?
What they've been telling me, yes. They're saying it doesn't matter, you know. We did notice that the clean snow around it, but with metal, it doesn't matter if it's warm or cold or whatever. It's more pain for them, you know, because they're dealing with cold metal. But they said it wouldn't. I've talked to all of them, and they said it didn't. It wouldn't one way or the other.
And they're all available for work to be done.
Yeah, they said, you know, within 90 days they could. They said they're doing other jobs too, but they get on it and get it done. But that's what they told me.
So, question, Mr. Chairman, if you move forward now, they're working in there, is that going to interfere, say, 3 months from now with your ability to keep your stuff warm and working, or could they go in and do some inside insulation now without interfering with it?
I'd have to ask them on that.
What you don't want to do is get stuck outside while they're working on it, and then you are in trouble.
And stuff. I can't have them sitting outside because it could, you know, I mean, we can cover that fan and stuff if I know, but we can pull the roof off. And
so my suggestion is we wait till the next build season. I feel like Joel's got a valid point. We get the building tore down and we get into some unforeseen something, and then Billy has nothing all winter.
And I agree with you, because if it's a 90-day thing and you don't get started until mid-December, hell, you're March anyway.
Yeah,
so exactly. I think we'll just put up with the heat and exactly. Bill this year and for the next season.
You know,
that makes sense. Run more propane for now if you have to.
Yeah.
That's where I stand, is wait till next season.
I agree. Makes sense.
Sounds reasonable to me. I suspect then that you set up bids, if you would.
Yeah. Yeah.
We could do that and get them started next building season.
Okay, good. That's all I have.
Okay. Anything else for Billy then? If not, we'll move forward. And I think we're going back to Matt Depp, and you have some reports for us. And Carrie, for Matt not here, I guess that means the recorder's been on, huh?
I turned it on.
Okay.
I wouldn't have a clue.
I didn't think about it. Sit down at the table.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? Just one item for your consideration today. It's a request for proposal. So the backstory on this is in 2009, Sublette County adopted a land use policy plan, and it basically provides a blueprint on how the county is going to interact with these federal land management agencies, what priorities the county has in making land use natural resource decisions. So that was adopted in 2009. Commissioner Bousman was on the commission during that time, so I'm sure he has some insights if the commission has questions about that process. Recently, the Wyoming legislature has allocated $50,000 for each county in the state of Wyoming to either create a land use plan or to update its land use plan. That $50,000 window, it ran from last July to July of 2020. So not under duress by any means, but we have, the clock is ticking, and we have a year to essentially apply to the governor's office for this $50,000 to help Sublette County update its land use policy plan. So this request for proposal aims to do just that. I've been working with Bailey at the Wyoming County Commissioners Association. She helped me put together this RFP. It's actually, it was a RFP originally adopted by Carbon County, so we didn't feel like we had to reinvent the wheel with this RFP. It's maybe a little more inclusive than it should be, but I guess I wanted to touch all the bases. And so my plan is, if the commission approves this RFP, is to move forward with advertising it, see what sort of responses we get from consultants, and then use those responses to apply to the governor's office for this $50,000, and hopefully have a updated land use policy plan by August 1st of 2020 for Sublette County.
When? 2020?
August 1st of 2020 is what the RFP states. So I would envision, the groundwork happens in the spring, public meetings happen in the summer, and then there's something for the commission to consider by August 1st of 2020. We don't have to have, we just have to have the application by July of 2020. We don't have to complete the whole process in order to be eligible for the funding. So with that, it's pretty standard and straightforward, but I'd be happy to answer any questions the commission had about the RFP or just the whole process itself.
Commissioner Nolan.
I'd make a motion we release the RFP for the land use policy.
I'll second, Mr. Chairman, and I just want to comment, very in-depth, excellent job, Matt, on putting that together, very in-depth. I've already had one phone call from the ecosystem research group that did the original plan for us, helped us with it. They've already, you called me a couple of times, wondered when we're going to have this ready, so that there's two or three firms, there's a list of firms approved by the governor's office that they feel are qualified to do this, so there's more than just them, but we'll get it out there and see what we get back.
And the responses are due by January 15th of 2020.
Yes.
So we have a motion and a second. Any other
Yes, I'd like to ask Matt if you, now the $50,000, Matt, is that going to cover what it's going to take, or is it going to be more add to that in your opinion?
I bet you see the consultant's bids in that $45,000 to $50,000 range. So yes, that's what the anticipation is, that it will cover the cost of the consultants to update the plan, to conduct the public meetings, to consider public comment, and then to again to update the plan itself.
So it shouldn't be any additional cost to us?
No, and the RFP makes clear that it's $50,000, so if any costs run in excess of that, that's on the consultant.
Okay. Any other questions? Call the question in. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay, Matt.
All right, thank you very much. And then I don't know, Commissioner Bossman, did you want to discuss that NACO scholarship?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, we've had that out there for a while, that opportunity for NACO to attend this leadership. It's kind of an online course.
Right.
And I was not in a position to do it. And since we hired Matt, I've had the thought that it just fits perfect, that he sign up for that, and he is interested, and I'd say we approve Matt taking advantage of that.
And I agree with you 100%. This is a scholarship that's available to somebody that we choose, whether it's ourselves or somebody else, and it's one of those things that you use it or lose it, and I think it would be money well spent, not by us, but by being able to obtain the grant.
Do we have, doesn't it cost us like $400 or something, our share of it, for a $2,000?
Yeah, it's minimal.
It's not much.
Yeah.
It's very minimal.
Well, it's something that could be very useful over the upcoming years, not something that's just immediate in terms of having that background and expertise.
So So I did reply to the lady because we're getting towards the end of the time when we can do that. And she responded this morning, I think, and I think you were copied on that email. So you've got what you need to directly go back and forth with her, so.
And it's all online coursework, right?
As the way I understand it, it's online coursework.
And we had no takers from the commission?
No.
I remember Philip from Hot Springs County talking about he went through it. And if I'm correct, if it's the same program, I'm not sure that there was 2 days in Cheyenne or something at the end. But I don't know if it is. I don't know why it is.
If there was interest on the commission, I would defer to you gentlemen, but if there isn't, yeah, I'd be very interested in doing the coursework. If
there hasn't, and I would be interested in you doing it.
I'm fine with it.
Absolutely. Okay. I'd say do it.
Mr. Beckett. So you have our, yeah, we have agreed.
Agreed. That, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
You should be able to register for that and take advantage of it.
Thanks.
And then you can tell us what you learned.
Hopefully I'll be a leader after that. Okay, thank you. That's all I had. If the commission had any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
I don't think so. Good job.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I think pressing the general code pile is one of the things they don't just say. Presenting to you guys, so
yeah.
Pretty impressive.
Chad, I think you're up. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Todd? Are you and Todd, or what are we going to be? Are we going to be considering the invoice that was turned in last time? If you could give us some background information of. I know we've had Todd giving us an explanation, but for the sake of public discussion and moving forward, if you would address that.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. About a month ago, I'd received an invoice that Kerry had provided to ML, and ML had given it to me for, I don't remember the exact number off the top of my head, Todd, can you help me, but $16,000? $200. And I didn't know what it was, so I called Todd and I asked him to explain it. He told me that it was for the electrical design that was part of the design plan for the new fire station proposed in the Daniel Station. After Todd explained to me what it was, it made sense that we can't have a station that doesn't have the electrical component designed with it. So with that, I submitted the voucher for consideration of the board and included it on our monthly expense reports, and that's all I know at this point.
And this was for work done last year, correct?
It was. Let me just jump in, Chad.
Okay.
Not to step on your toes. When we originally met with Mark, he was going to handle the electrical, everything. Well, the complexity of this station being single power, when we need three-phase power, we can't run three-phase power to the site. It requires some additional expertise, if you will. When we originally started this project, I'm going to back up just a little bit. We looked at hiring an architect, and the commission all says, man, that's expensive. I put my foot in my mouth a little bit and says, you know what, I think we can save some money by just farming this out and pick and choose the expertise that we want. I'm just going to use a $3 million number because that's what we was looking at for the construction. If we was to hire an architect, that would be 6 to 9% of that fee, which is $180,000 to $270,000. To date, with everything that I know, the only thing I really don't have a strong number on is the survey, because we had Real Verde do the site survey. And that was just billed directly to the county, but I can't imagine it exceeded more than $5,000. But anyway, we're right around $100,000 is what we've spent to date to get the plans ready. So we have saved between $80,000 and $170,000 to get to this stage by taking that avenue that we went. Part of the reason why Heath's bill was late getting submitted, He had submitted me one for $10,000 back in June, but I didn't pay it, because if you recall, we was having a hard time getting drawings from Heath. And so I says, no, not until I see the product am I going to submit this. And so he finally submitted me the drawings when he submitted the $16,000 invoice, which is what he had quoted me to do the work. But I have the drawings, I submitted them or emailed them to you gentlemen last week. So anyway, that's a long story, but that was part of the package of getting to this stage. You know, we've got a well designed, and we're basically ready. There's still a little bit of structural review, but I put that on hold because we started having some kickback on costs and stuff, so I wasn't going to spend any more money to work the project. But the structural is even figured in my numbers of $102,000.
Okay. Kerry, if you could help us out here. I think this is something that we considered probably back in April when we were in this room.
I think so.
That we actually approved a motion to have Mark, or whatever his company is, look at drawing or giving us some design plans on this proposed building. Now, the dollar amount of that, I don't remember. I don't remember being $100,000, but.
It was 20, his portion of it was 20 something.
27,000.
Yeah. And he ended up at 34.1. And again, with some changes on the site and what have you. But if you remember, he issued three change orders that brought his number up to 34.1.
Okay, so is it correct to say that what this amounts to is a change order that took place that maybe we didn't know about, or?
No, Mark's proposal was just for the building.
Right.
The building layout.
Right.
It had nothing to do with electrical, nothing to do with site grading, nothing to do with the infrastructure side of it. It was just solely the building. So that's just a piece of, if you used to have an architect, he would be one part of the architectural team.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Any questions?
I have no question, Mr. Chairman. I move we approve the voucher since we didn't approve it last time. It's for work that's been done. We're no good.
Second.
Well, I don't know whether I have questions or concerns. Maybe a little both. 5 months after the fact seemed to me like we're late to be getting the bill for something that we've not approved.
And I take the credit for that, but I was not paying the bill for something that we hadn't received.
Then I guess my question would be, why should we?
Well, that's a good call. I mean, I'm stuck because Heath has fulfilled his contract. And he sent the bill to me. So I guess we're going to wait the $16,000 if that's what the commission wants to do.
I think it's only, I mean, this is something that we agreed to have done. The only reason I'm looking like a cow at a new gate is because I didn't realize that we had this oversight. The bill came in 5 months late, but I agree with Commissioner Palsman. This is work that we committed to have it done, and it falls into, I guess, in my limited understanding, being an overrun in cost that we hadn't anticipated, or something that we weren't fully aware of. But I think we're obligated to pay the bill, because not only had we requested the work be done, but it's going to be a necessary component that absolutely has to be done if we're going to submit this application to the State Land Investment Board for them to consider us for a grant. So I'm in favor of paying the bill.
I don't agree with that, but that's me. Yeah.
Well, I understand your comments, but I don't think we've got a motion in a second. And if there's not any other comments, I'll call the question. All in favor of this motion to pay the bill, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, as a matter of, let me just explain the process. We've approved going back and paying the voucher for last month. When we go to approve the vouchers this month, that check will be included in it. So we're not going to be revisiting that. But we have approved that we are going to pay the voucher. Now, when we get to the business item of paying the bills, that check will be included in it.
It's already in the pile.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
So, question for Todd Overshad. The, what do you want to call engineering or design, is complete at this point?
Yes.
The only thing it sounds like you're worried about is the structural.
Is the structural. And that's, like I say, because I put that on hold, which I have already included that cost.
So will that include another bill that we're yet to see, or what's your feeling there?
The biggest thing that's going to be changed is some changes on the drawings, because the footing depth, they didn't follow Sutherland County's frost depths. That's one thing that I noted. And so it's honest, it's a matter of just changing that depth of that concrete. Because we still gotta have it frost protected even though it's just a metal building. And that's in the deals. Now rather we go back to Mark to have him change that or what, but that's really the biggest issue that I've seen. And then it's just a matter of compiling all the different Mark's drawings with the structural, with the electrical, and putting out a package.
When do you foresee the package coming out?
Well, Shad and I really haven't talked about it, but we'd like to do it this, you know, January, February, so that we can either accept them or throw them all out. I mean, that's where we're at right now. Now, the slip deal, when do they meet? February?
No, January 16th or 20th, I forget which, but middle of January.
Middle of January.
So we'll all work out roughly in January then.
So,
okay. Thank you.
So I guess I'm assuming it's clear to everybody now with what we talked about with Billy that the road and bridge is out of this project.
Oh, I was not aware of that.
So I don't know. My interpretation of that, that all depends on what the bids come back as, right?
I don't know. My understanding was if we insulate this building, well, that we no longer need that included in part of this project.
A couple of things.
Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I agree with Joe. I think a couple of things. But we were given an estimated price before we all had sticker shock on it and said there's no way we're going to approve a project of that size. I think one thing that Billy has done, and I'm not the engineer, I'm not the contractor, but I think one thing Billy has done, if we just approve going forward with remodeling the county maintenance shop, to the tune in the neighborhood of $200,000 or whatever those bids were, I'm using rounded numbers. Obviously, that's going to be removed from the floor plans for the a potential new fire hall, and I don't know how much of those numbers apply to a new county maintenance shop, but I would say it's at least twice that much. So I'm agreeing with Joel that I think we've taken the step to take care of county maintenance irregardless of the decision on the fire hall, meaning we just gave you the okay to proceed with that next building season, which means it won't need to be included in the fire hall. And like I said, even though I'm not the contractor engineer, I can't help but thinking removing whatever facilities you had planned in that building for maintenance is going to reduce the cost. And I think what we're looking at is, when you come back to us, is a consideration of a cost we can feel that we can live with that's more in the ballpark. Now,
The other point I want to make is we haven't made an approval to build a fire hall. We've made approval to go through the process of these plans with the idea of hopefully, you know, we can get 2 SLIP grants in 1 year, be a miracle, but hopefully we can get a grant to help pay for the fire hall. So tell me if I'm wrong, but I think moving forward, we need to be looking at plans that's exclusive of county maintenance shop.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to ask Billy, was that not your understanding?
Yeah, no, that, I mean, I didn't know if the fire hall was in the when we started, and then I didn't know if it's ever going to happen. So I got to, I mean, we've been working on this for like 6 years, and it's just, I just thought if we could do this, yeah, then I'm good, because all I need is, but I mean, I don't need any more. What we were going to build is basically what I have. That, so if we get insulation where it can hold heat, that is all I need.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes,
Chairman. So my understanding is that we can make an effective cost analysis on the, and the board can make a decision if it's cost effective to remodel the existing building to meet Billy's needs, or if it's cost effective to include additional space on the new building. I realize that it's been quite a while ago. I first met with the Board of Commissioners and discussed the need for a new Daniel Station in 2015 and included it in our capital improvement plan in 2016. And at that time, the board had asked me to work with Billy at Roden Bridge to co-locate the two buildings. And the logic at the time was that if we could share the facilities, that it would be less money and we wouldn't have to do the same thing twice. We don't need to drill the same well twice. We don't need to run the same power twice, share bathroom facilities, et cetera. And that it would be a significant savings to the taxpayers' dollars to co-locate the two buildings in the same facility and minimize, you know, the need to spend the money twice. So since that time, I've been working hand in hand with Billy to move forward with that plan. With the action of the board today, that's a significant different direction to separate the Roden Bridge building portion from the three bays, so the two bays for the Roden Bridge portion from the three bays from the fire portion. If we do that, I'm completely understanding. It'd be my recommendation that we do a breakdown of, you know, what that cost would be, and maybe it is more effective to build new than it would be to remodel the existing. I don't know the answer to that question. That's something that Todd would know. The other point that I'd like to bring up is that with the State Loan Investment Board grant that we submitted, we specifically included the Roden Bridge portion in the building design. We submitted the building designs as we had at that time. And I'm not sure how to amend the grant application and to address the reduction in the footprint of the building, if that's the board's wishes.
Mr. Chairman, can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
So we put Billy's project off till spring. They're going to be ready to go out to bid with the current plans as is. Is it possible that when you go out to bid, you ask for a 2-part bid, this section being excluded or complete?
Well, that's what's going through my little
brain. So we get a 2-part bid from you guys. That gives us the numbers to make it, base our decision on.
Well, but to address Chad's immediate concern, I would say as far as the State Land Board application, you leave it as is, because they're going to make a determination on that, which if they do, would give us significant income towards that project, which may change the decision-making process of whether or not to include maintenance in it. Does that make sense? How much is the grant for?
We requested 50% of the estimated $3 million bill. So
right, so it's $1.5 million if it's, or a portion of that if it's awarded. And when will they make a decision on that, do you know?
Let me look at my calendar and double check the dates here, the exact date.
Third Thursday of January, probably.
So that gives us plenty of time.
The county portion, the Roden Bridge portion of this building is the least expensive, if you will. But okay. it does change all the sprinkler system and the internal. Well
we could still we still have a plan A, B, and C.
Yeah.
Plan A is if we get the slip board grant. Plan B involves not getting that grant, what do we do with maintenance? And then of course plan C does involves if we don't get the grant, what do we do with the proceeding with the fire hall based on the cost? So I don't think it's gonna hurt. We certainly have time within that January meeting. If Billy was going to consider doing this and not put it out to bid till next construction season, which is going to be April or whenever, you're certainly going to know your decision on the slip board grant funding.
Well, the last time I even talked about the fire hall and that was budget time. And I know me and you talked, and we you thought that the road and bridge part would be over 400,000.
I was just going through the phone to see if I could find
I think if Billy held off till March to put his bids out, we would have the answer.
We have all the answers.
We don't need to have this.
No, and I think you go ahead with your grant application as is, and then we'll proceed with the planning process based on whether or not you get your award of that grant.
So I just looked at my calendar. January 16th is when the slip board meets in Cheyenne, so that helps you for dates. One question I would have is that the building as proposed right now has five bays on it, three bays for the fire station and two bays for road and bridge. With the direction of the conversation, would that require an additional design to remove the additional two bays?
It would, yeah, from Mark.
And then, so it could require a redesign to remove all the electrical, the plumbing, I'm seeing
change order to the design.
It would definitely be a fill change. I mean, the whole siding, the whole grading and everything.
Can we make that decision after we find out what the slip board's going to do?
I don't know. Answer the question. If it's January 16th.
I mean, we're only looking at 2 months.
Yeah.
Or a month and a half.
Yeah, we can do it. I mean, Chad's 100% right. There's some engineering costs associated to the changes that we'd have to figure into the cost savings, if you will.
Well, we've already spent $102,000 on this moving forward. I think Billy's request is reasonable based on what you were assuming in terms of the cost, but not considering the increased cost for redesign, drawing, so ever, whatever. I think it's just as easy to try to make that decision after SLIP decides whether they're going to award their grant or not.
Yeah, that's my recommendation. My position has always been to provide the board with information and show the need for a fire station, and then make whatever information we have available for the board to make an informed decision. And I think that would make the most sense is to wait until we have information from the slip board, and then maybe the next step would be to go to bid and then have actual numbers to look at. And the chair make an informed decision.
If I may.
You may.
So, looking at what the governor has recommended, and based on what most of the operators out here in the field that we procured a huge amount of money from, the next year is going to be okay, but after that, it's downturn. And I think this is an opportunity for us as this commission to back off of this spending mode we seem to be in, that are unnecessary, as I believe, the perceived Daniel Fire Hall is. I don't think it's necessary. I think it's a want, not a need, and I've continued to talk to constituency around that part of the country, in some instances, in the Pinedale front, and they cannot understand why this thing's even being discussed, and I'm having an issue with it personally. It's not, especially now, in this time, when we should be looking to be more prudent with the money that we've got, it is just not necessary to have this discussion. I think we need to put this dog to bed and let it, just let it be.
Done.
That's my spiel for the day.
Okay. And we've been, with all due respect, had that discussion before. I just want to say a couple of things. Number one, since I have been on the commission, we have not been in a spending mode. We have held our budget flatline. Since I've been on the commission, we have not built a new building. This is something that's been under discussion by previous commissions, and I've said this and I'll say it again. The need, I think, is determined based on the individual that we placed in that position, given his expert advice regarding that. Now, I think in my mind, the consideration comes in terms of final cost and can we afford to pay for it. I am very mindful of a downturn in revenues, as is everybody in this room and everybody in the legislature. We already have $102,000 committed to this. It's an opportunity, perhaps if we get a 50-50 match, to alleviate some of the burden of the cost of this thing. So having said that, I'm in full favor of moving forward to see what the State Land Investment Board says. And then I'm sure we'll have a discussion again on whether the price is coming into the range of something we can afford to deal with. But I respect your opinion, but at this point in time, I think we're moving in that direction. We just have to wait and see what the State Land Investment Board says about this grant application. Well, we've already given them that direction. Now, whether we accept it, we haven't got the numbers yet. But, you know, I share the conservative viewpoint, concern about being prudent with the county's money. But then I would also share your concern and opinion, as well as Commissioner Noble, when it came something to do with agriculture and equipment operation, just as I'm sure you would be in the field of medicine. This is not my expertise, but it is his, and that's what I think that's what we've been listening to. That debate will go on after we get the numbers and after we get the State Land Investment Board's decision on the grant. Anything else?
Mr. Chairman, just one brief comment, and I have no expertise in fire. I've never pretended to, but I can say that this project has been a priority of our fire people since about 2015, I believe, somewhere in there. And the goal was to start reserving money towards this project like we have any other project in the county. So when we ever did get to the point of doing it, we'd have the money available. And that was the philosophy of the prior, several prior commissions, was in regards to fire protection. I remember this being talked about before Unified Fire existed. So that's all I know. I'm no expert in fire, and I have been in the Daniel Fire Hall, but as far as knowing what the needs are, that's why we rely on the people that provide us fire protection. That's my thought.
So I think moving forward, Shad, you just keep your application the way it is. You see what that, what their action on that is, and then we go from there and see if we need to exercise another option.
Just a reminder, Billy, to hold off on that bid.
Okay, Todd, thanks for coming down. Or up. Yeah, appreciate it, sir. You guys want a short break?
Yeah, let's do that. Okay.
I'm going to have a short recess, and then we'll get on with Clayton.
Here.